Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey, David. Thomas. What's up?
David, you doing good?
I'm doing well. I just cut you off there for no reason at all.
You're excited.
I am. I'm always excited. So good to see you again, buddy.
You're just excited about starting the day. And starting to record podcasts.
That is right. And you and I are doing something a little bit differently today. Usually we get together around 10 in the a.m., but dude, it is 8 in the a.m. this morning.
It's early.
It is.
Usually on these Fridays, I do a devotion at a homeschool group on in New Albany, and so I didn't have that today.
Yeah,
School's out for the summer.
So we're able to get together a little bit sooner. You know, Thomas, we're going to be talking about something kind of fun today. Differences.
Yeah.
Differences.
There's differences in all kinds of things.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you, is there a difference between a regular soft drink and a diet soft drink?
I think there is. There's something about the mouth feel.
Hmm.
Would you agree? How long has it been since you've had a regular drink?
Okay, a regular drink. No, so I was diagnosed with the sugar diabetes in September of 2011. So this September will be 15 years since I have had a regular drink, except one time. April and Taylor, our daughter, and I, Taylor was probably 15 or 16. This was a number of years ago. And we sat down in the restaurant and I said, Diet Coke. But the waiter heard Coke, and he brought out a Coke, and I started sipping on it. I'm like, oh man, this is the best Diet Coke I've ever had. And I kept saying something, and April was like, hang on a second. And she took a sip of it and she said, it's Coca-Cola, it's not Diet Coke. So other than that one accident about a decade ago, it's been 15 years since I've had a regular drink.
All right, so there's something about fake sugar,
yeah,
that leaves a funny feeling in your mouth, or it leaves a different texture of the liquid in your mouth than, or it does for me,
right,
than it does for sugar or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
So I don't recall that memory. I don't remember that, but you very well may be correct. I don't remember that experience.
So I can usually tell if there's a diet or non-diet drink just by the way the liquid coats the top of my mouth.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. Now, Thomas, we are both sipping on Diet Mountain Dew right now. And I'm taking a sip and kind of thinking about what you're saying. And I think I understand that coating on the tongue.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. There's something different about it.
I never noticed that.
Regular sugar coats your tongue in a different way than fake sugar.
I gotcha. Isn't that something? So you would say there's a difference. So what's your favorite diet drink?
My favorite diet drink is Dr. Pepper Cream Soda.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about that a few episodes back.
I'll tell you, one that I've been drinking here lately is Dr. Pepper Creamy Coconut.
Dude, what is wrong with you and what is wrong with Dr. Pepper?
Whatever's wrong with him is wrong with me too, because I'm loving it, man. I am loving it. Probably my favorite drink is Mountain Dew. All right, one odd thing, differences. You know, we're talking about differences.
Yeah.
There's a difference, in my opinion, between Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, there's a big difference. One is good and one is not.
And Diet Pepsi is good.
No, it is Diet Coke that is good.
And I don't know why I think Diet Pepsi's better than Diet Coke. Uh-huh. I think it tastes more like the original. Uh-huh. All right, so I think Diet Pepsi tastes more like a regular Coke.
Uh-huh.
Than
a Diet Coke.
Than a Diet Coke.
Yeah, now I think I watched a YouTube video sometime back that said the Diet Coke formula was based on the change in Coke. Remember the new Coke back in the 80s or whatever?
Yeah.
That they went to new Coke and everybody flipped out and then wanted Coca-Cola Classic. I believe the Diet Coke is the new Coke. I'm using air quotes. So I think that Diet Coke is based on that new Coke formula and maybe that taste. So that's probably why you're thinking that.
New Coke was terrible. I do remember that.
Yeah, remember Crystal Pepsi?
Oh, I love that. as like, that was the early 1990s.
Yeah. Remember Surge? Remember that?
I do, yeah.
I remember Surge. Man, those were good times. Sorry, so there's a difference between regular drinks and non-regular drinks. Go ahead.
Okay, what about difference between 7-Up and Sprite?
7-Up. Oh, yeah. So I'm not a Sprite fan, or way back when, I was not a Sprite fan. I am a 7-Up fan. Now, my wife has a theory on why she doesn't like Sprite, and it's probably why I don't like Sprite. Whenever you were a child and you had a little stomach ache or you were sick at school, here, drink some of this Sprite. So she thinks that in our mind, we equated Sprite with having an upset stomach or not feeling the best at school. And so it's gotten into our psyche. Now when you taste Sprite, it brings up a bad emotion. So have you ever thought about that?
So for me, it was 7-Up.
Mm-hmm.
7-Up and saltine crackers.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So do you prefer Sprite over 7-Up?
I think I do.
Okay. And I prefer 7-Up over Sprite. So very well could be that because of what you got when you were sick, what your parent or a teacher gave you to drink. So that's interesting.
Well, today on Ministry Marks, we're talking about childhood trauma related to Sprite and 7-Up. No, we're talking about differences.
Differences. All right. So in my book, there is something that they're one and the same, but I don't even know the difference. But I'm going to ask if you do. Is there a difference between Star Trek and Star Wars?
Yes. Big difference. Huge difference. Okay. Like when you said that earlier, I scoffed at it.
You did.
I mean, if there was any kind of Pharisaical reaction to, you know, many times when Jesus would say something, the Pharisees would scoff.
Yeah.
And when you said what you said, I think that was a Pharisaical reaction as a scoffing. It was a, how could you dare say something like that? That Star Trek and Star Wars are the same thing. They're completely different. I am a Star Wars fan and not necessarily a Star Trek fan.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I can watch Star Trek, but Star Wars is the one that I really grew up on and what I really like.
Yeah. I got you. So there are differences. A big difference. Okay, Thomas, honestly, we're not just talking about soft drinks. We're not just talking about Star Wars, Star Trek. The differences that we're talking about today is the difference between a pastor and a preacher. The difference between a preacher and a pastor. So in some people's minds, would they say, man, there's no difference?
I think they would. I think they would look at it and say, these are the same responsibilities. And I think both of us would probably say that's not true because we've been just a preacher.
That's right.
And we are pastors now. Yeah. And I think there are differences.
Yeah.
So what would be like an example? Tell me something from your past of an example of just a preacher.
Yeah. So whenever I think of just being a preacher, my mind goes back to whenever I initially surrendered to the ministry and I would go and preach. Now back then when you're young and you've just surrendered, you will you're thrilled over a brotherhood breakfast, getting to go and speak for 15 or 20 minutes to about, you know, 15 or 20 guys, and you get to share with them a sermon. And usually a preacher will preach at his home church, maybe on a Sunday night, and he'll share some things from his heart on the occasion to the group of people, you know, to the church body. But preaching is just going in, exegeting. I'm saying that like whenever I was 21 years old, I knew what exegesis meant. I had no clue. But you would go in, you would exegete a passage, you would just preach, but there was lacking the connection. And with the preacher, you might be called to go over to another church, maybe fill in for a pastor that kind of knows you or knows your family whenever he's going to be out of town or out on vacation. You would go and preach, and it was just a one and done sermon or a one and done event, something like a brotherhood. So that's what I think of whenever I think of preacher, or from my past, a preacher. Do you have a similar thought?
I think that's a great thought. So you're talking about relationship, right? Yeah. You don't really necessarily have a relationship. And of course, you know, with your relational mind, that's where you would go.
Of course. Yeah.
I think about responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So the responsibility of a preacher and a pastor is completely different. Do you ever remember when we were students at Blue Mountain? Of course, we were getting to preach. I was getting to preach somewhere every Sunday, multiple places during the month. You were pastoring.
I was already pastoring. Yeah.
Little Creek.
Yeah.
One of the churches that I went to preach was a church right outside of Nettleton. I'm not going to say the name of it right now. But do you remember what happened?
No, I have no clue what you're about to tell.
So I got there to the church. It was a church I was familiar with. And I was walking around, kind of talking to the people here and there. I could see that the service was about to begin. The music minister went to the pulpit, the platform. Everybody kind of got quiet. The pianist stopped playing. And I sat down. And then he looked out at the crowd and he said, "I tender my resignation effective immediately," and walked to the side of the door. It was one of those sanctuaries that has a door like right off the platform that opens up to the outside.
Yeah.
And so he says that, he begins to walk off the stage.
Yeah.
By the time he hits the floor off of the steps, his wife is right beside him. They open the door and the light shines in, of course, and shocks everybody with that light. He closes the door and he's gone.
You're kidding. You're kidding. And he didn't tell you anything about it beforehand.
No.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting there and I thought at first it was a joke.
Yeah.
And then I realize it's not a joke.
He's dead serious.
He's dead serious.
Yes.
And I'm looking there. Like, what's going to happen next?
So is there a pianist at the piano?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
The instrument.
And there's an organist at that moment.
Was there a choir in the loft or anything like that?
No choir that I remember.
Uh-huh. So did you get up and lead singing?
I did not. I just sat there until the chairman of the deacons of that church got up there and said, "I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I don't know what we're going to do right now."
And, oh, my goodness.
And he asked somebody to come up there and lead a song. We went through a song, and then I got up there to preach, and I preached, and I left. And I didn't come back for like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. But you preached in that church again, though?
I did preach in that church again.
Really? Did the worship leader at that time resign also?
He did not.
If so, I see the common denominator.
All right. So, but did you hear? Responsibility.
Yeah.
When that person walked out, I had no responsibility.
Zero.
I sat there until somebody else did something.
Yep.
And then when I left that day, I didn't really think about it and worry about it until, didn't even really think about it again until, well, I was telling all of my friends.
Yeah.
I'm sure I told you about
it. Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah.
And then when I didn't really think about it again until I went back to that church and preached. And then I said something from the pulpit. I was like, "Hey, y'all remember last time I was here? Y'all's music minister resigned and walked out." And they were like, "Yeah, we can't believe that happened, you know." But it was responsibility,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I had no responsibility in that.
You know, it's interesting that my mind immediately went to relationship and your mind immediately went to responsibility. And I would dare say that the biggest burden that I carry as a pastor is relationships. I feel it is my job to have a relationship with everybody at First Baptist Senatobia. And I wonder if the biggest burden you carry is responsibility.
Probably so.
Isn't that weird?
I don't necessarily feel the draw and connection to have a working relationship. I want to be friendly. I want to know everyone.
Yeah.
But God's just not wired me that I need.
Yeah. Isn't that
those
something?
Relationship, you know, connections. But I am very task oriented.
Uh-huh.
Like, give me something to do and I will get it done.
Yeah. You know, as we're talking about the difference between a pastor and a preacher, we have a mutual friend, John Martin. John has worked for the Mississippi Baptist Convention for probably 5 years, maybe even 6 or 7 years. He's been there for a number of years. And he had probably been in that role for a couple of years whenever I asked John. The primary thing he missed from pastoring for years, Dr. Martin was a pastor down in South Mississippi. And I asked him, I said, "What's the primary thing you miss from pastoring?" And he said, relational preaching. Preaching to the same people, the same families. I think, if memory serves me correctly, I believe when he left for the Baptist building, he had been the pastor of the same church for like, you know, 10 years, 12 years. And seeing children born, seeing them grow up, seeing them saved, baptized. And he said that as a Baptist building employee, he still did a lot of preaching. I figured John preaches somewhere theoretically every Sunday, but it's not the same. It's right. not the same as that pastoral preaching and seeing the relationships with people. And so I've always wondered, you know, how some people do it. We have a mutual friend, Kenny Digby, who has greatly influenced our life. Kenny, I would say the majority of his ministry has been non-pastoral preaching. It's been evangelism. It's been doing workshops, doing Bible conferences, you know, things like that, doing revivals. And it's different where Kenny, I think, is much more suited to preaching and not pastoring. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
I'm glad you know what I mean.
So what I like about pastoral preaching mm-hmm. instead of just preaching mm-hmm. is that I have the opportunity each week to preach to theoretically the same people.
Yeah.
I can be like the dropping of water.
Mm-hmm.
Drip.
Just drip, annoying.
Drip. 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 Really,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, but over a period of time, a drip mm-hmm. begins to do things.
Mm-hmm.
It begins to change what's around it.
Yeah.
Now, a pressure washer
mm-hmm.
can oh. change things really quickly.
That's right.
But you're going to turn it off.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
And it's going to go into storage.
mm-hmm. That's a very good analogy.
So you understand what I'm saying? I mean, like Dr. Digby is a pressure washer.
He is. He sure is.
You yeah. just turn him on.
Uh-huh.
Open up the handle, boy, let it rip.
yeah, that's right.
And it's kind of like the dripping of water with a pastoral preacher every Sunday. I don't have to feel like I've got to say everything I need to possibly say.
Because you got them next week and the week after that. And the week after
theoretically, that. I got them yeah. next week.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, one thing I think that I like about pastoral preaching is I usually preach within sermons. I would hope that every sermon is standalone is what I would hope. And I think yes. that's the way I build them. But I like the idea of a 6 to 16 week sermon where we are right now at First Baptist Church at the time of this recording, we are walking through verse by verse through the book of Colossians. And I love that idea of if these people will be here over a 12-week period, we will literally look at every single verse in that book. And I like that, where if you're running and gunning, even if you have a Sunday morning through Wednesday night revival series that you're preaching somewhere, that's only 5 sermons. And typically, you're not going to preach out of the Gospel of Matthew, you know, for 5 sermons. You're going to hit different areas of, yep. of emphasis, I think.
All right. So what's some other differences between a pastor and a preacher? It's definitely relationship, and especially relationship as it relates to preaching. It is responsibility as it relates to preaching and responsibility as it relates to the worship service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what about yeah. like administrative things?
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge difference. Thomas, really, I believe one great difference between a preacher and a pastor is that a pastor truly is an under-shepherd of God's people. A preacher does great work in preaching the word of the Lord, but a pastor in the role of the under-shepherd, he is ultimately responsible to the direction of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, and he has to give direction to the church.
Yes.
And he'll stand before the Lord one day for the direction that he gave or the lack of the direction that he gave to the church. And I think that's one primary difference is the under-shepherding work of a pastor.
And I think that's a big difference, too, between a pastor and a staff member. We've both oh, been yeah. staff members
that's
at
right.
a church.
That's right. We have. Yep.
You were youth pastor.
uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was youth pastor. Yep. I was youth pastor at First Baptist Nettleton for about 4 years.
Yeah. And I was at Willow Grove Baptist in the Greater Corinth area for right at 4 years also. Yeah.
there's a big difference between being a pastor and a staff member. I don't have the responsibility as a staff member like I do when I'm the pastor. There is the word you used a moment ago, I believe, captures it. There's an accountability there, right?
Yeah. You know, the buck stops at the pastor's desk. You know, ultimately, that's it.
As a staff member, you don't feel the burden of carrying that church like you do as a pastor.
That's right.
If something happens in the church and there is some kind of conflict, maybe there is a relational conflict, or there is some kind of administrative thing, or there's something else that is happening within the church, as a staff member, I don't feel the burden to fix it or to worry about it or to even think about it again.
Yeah.
Unless the pastor says, all right, Brother Thomas, this is on you. You got to do something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can honestly sleep easy at night, can't you?
You really can. You really can. You know, and as a pastor, you're even concerned with the relationship of the staff members to each other and to members in the church, where if you're a staff member, you're not as concerned about that as a pastor is. You know, Thomas, there was something that happened years ago. Mark Robbins, who is the current pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, he followed me. I was there for 8.5 years. Four of those years, Mark and I served together. Mark was a youth minister at Trinity Baptist. And then he went to Riverbend Baptist in the greater Aberdeen, Amory neck of the woods. And he pastored there for a number of years. Now he's back at Trinity as the senior pastor. But I guess Mark had been the pastor of Riverbend Baptist for about 6 months. And my cell phone rang one day. I was pastoring Trinity. And I answered. I said, "What's up, Mark?" He said, "Thank you." I said, "For what?" He said, "For all the things you did as pastor, and I had no clue you were doing them as I was youth minister. Thank you." And I said, "You're welcome." Because there's a lot more to it than what just a staff member or a church member thinks.
Yeah, and we're not necessarily saying that ministerial staff or non-ministerial staff in a church have nothing to worry about or they have no concerns. They do.
Yeah.
Because they have areas of responsibility, they have relationships that they have to worry about in themselves, you know. But that's more a microcosm than the general population of the church,
that's
right?
That's right.
And so the pastor is dealing with children and children's ministry and the parents of children, and the pastor is dealing with youth and youth ministry and the parents of youth and senior adults and all of the other things that go along with that. Whereas typically a ministerial staff or a staff person has a very narrow focus of their ministry responsibilities.
I completely agree. If we were to liken it to politics, you theoretically could say, well, every politician is the same. Well, I think there's a difference between a supervisor in Tate County or Union County and the governor of Mississippi. There is a difference. There is definitely a difference. And that is similar to a pastor's purview of ministry.
That was a great word.
Thank you. I can't spell purview, but I can sure use it in a sentence.
All right. So, David, in your experience, now you haven't had that many pastors. Who's your favorite pastor?
Oh, wow. Okay. So just immediately, my mind goes to Sammy McMillan, who became the pastor of Shiloh Baptist Church probably whenever I was 10 or 11 years old. I'm actually going to mention him in this upcoming Sunday sermon. And so Brother Sammy is on my mind just because I'm going to mention something about him in Sunday sermon. And so I guess it was him. The reason why it is him is because whenever, you know, okay, so 10 years old to 16, that's formative. That's formative. And Brother Sammy taught a teenage, I guess it was a discipleship training class. And I so often think of this. One evening session was about odd things in the Bible. And he talked about the prostitute who went to Solomon and said, you know, my baby has died. And that's, you know, not her. And the whole cutting the baby in half. The Bible verse about an egg white having no taste or a yolk or whatever. And it was just, he pulled out about 10 or 12 things that were just odd things in the Bible. And every time while reading through the Bible, I run across those, I think of that class when I was probably 13 and Sammy Macmillan. And it just goes back. I remember thinking, wow, that was so neat. I remember it's almost like I was a kid again, hearing it for the first time, because you rarely ever read those verses. So that's a very good question. And I guess that's why I would say him.
I think for me, it would probably be my grandfather, even though he was not necessarily a pastor. I went with him to all of the interim pastorates that he did. So he was interim pastor at Temple Grove.
Oh, yeah.
And I was there with him.
Yeah.
He left from there and he went to be the interim pastor of Bigby Baptist Church. And I was there with him. He left from there and he went to Becker Baptist Church. And I was there with him. And he left from there and went to Splunge Baptist, and I remember going there with him.
Yeah.
And so I remember going so many places with my grandfather. But as far as preaching goes, one of the preaching pastors that I really remember would probably be George Johnson.
Okay.
And he was at First Baptist Nettleton during those formative teenage years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Used to be a chaperone on the youth trips with us.
Yeah.
Pastor would be George Johnson, beyond my grandfather, of course. Now, what about preacher? All right, well, the differences between pastor and preacher, who's your favorite preacher?
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Man, just talking about preaching. All right. Man, you and I have a lot of very good friends who are preachers. Ronald Meeks holds a dear spot in our hearts because he was one of our professors at Blue Mountain Christian University, Blue Mountain College at the time. But Ronald Meeks is as good as any preacher that I have a personal relationship with. Now, can I have a little caveat here? So James Lewis, who pastored DeSoto Hills in DeSoto County, Mississippi for years. James Lewis, I think, is the funniest preacher, like in the pulpit. I think he's the funniest that I know. Mark Hoover, First Baptist Hayti, Missouri. Mark Hoover is, I think, the funniest preacher. One of the funniest preachers that I know. I think James Lewis is funnier in the pulpit than Mark Hoover, but Hoover is a close second. We are surrounded by funny guys. Tim Mims is as hilarious as anyone you'll be around, but Tim Mims in the pulpit isn't funny like a James Lewis or a Mark Hoover. Tim Mims outside the pulpit is drop dead hilarious.
Right.
But in the pulpit, he's more straight laced, you know, more serious in preaching. So man, he is, we have a lot of really good preachers that we know. I think I would go with Ronald Meeks is who I think I would go with. Man, that's a good question. All right. So what, who would you say?
If it's someone that I would get to hear on a regular basis, so local. If you're asking me if it's local, then I'm going to say Kenny Digby. I think I would love to hear Kenny Digby preach. Now, if you're asking me for someone nationally, who would you drive maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours, because they're only going to be through this area every once in a while, it would be a Robert Smith Jr.
Oh, boy, isn't he good?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right, now... Yeah. We can't end this podcast. We're getting close to ending, but we can't end this podcast without asking the question that most church members are going to ask. Is it possible for a pastor to be better at pastoring or preaching? And many church members would probably make that distinction and say, well, yeah, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And I've had some pastors that were better pastors than preachers.
Yes.
Or I've had some pastors that were better preachers than pastors.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think we can make that distinction. And we all know pastors who are really good administrators. And I think there are some pastors that are really gifted administrators. So you could throw the gift of administration under that pastoring umbrella. And then preaching, we know good preaching when we hear it. We know bad preaching when we hear it also. Yes. there are some pastors who theoretically couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag, but they are fantastic pastors.
Right. Yeah. And typically those fantastic pastors are everywhere all the time doing everything.
That's right. That's right. They love you. They're there before the ambulance gets to your house to pick you up when you had a heart attack. They're there holding your hand, praying for you, you know? So yeah, they are great pastors, but not so much of a preacher. So Thomas, now, of course, you and I want to be great pastors and great preachers one day. We hope to be both yes, of those.
I'm striving towards that.
But for a church member, should they long to have a great pastor or a great preacher? I know where I land.
I've got to pick one or the other.
You have to pick one or the other. You cannot pick both. Oh, I want a great preaching pastor, great pastor and preacher. No. You want a great pastor, or you want a great preacher. And for this,
I think they need a great preacher who is going to be dedicated to serving the word of God faithfully to them week in and week out. And they then let the deacons do the work of the ministry.
That's a very good answer. And I think you're right. I think the preaching aspect of being a pastor is paramount. I think there are others, staff members, deacons, faithful brothers and sisters who can minister. But if you're going to be a pastor, you need to be a preacher.
I will say, I don't think, because I say that, I don't think that gives me the right to disregard any of those ministries. I try to do those.
Yeah.
But if I'm having to make a choice, then I'm going to choose to be faithful in the preaching of God's word, and I would let someone else pick up my slack in that area.
Yeah, because honestly, others can't pick up your slack in the preaching area. Deacons can't get up behind the pulpit and preach because you're not doing a good job, but they can't help minister.
Yes, I've known of some preachers who really strove to be the very best preachers they could be, and they would not go to funerals.
Oh, that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
They would not go to hospital at all for any reason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not where I am, but I do think that preaching is paramount in my ministry.
Thomas, you mentioned something earlier that I think is the middle of the road between pastoring and preaching. And you mentioned it with your grandfather, an interim pastor. I think an interim pastor can have a pastoral ministry, but then also almost that running and gunning preaching mentality. You have served as the interim pastor of a couple of churches.
Yes.
And so is the interim pastorate the middle of the road between preaching and pastoring?
I think it would be. The longer you're there as interim, the more it becomes like pastoring. And the shorter time you're there, it's more like preaching. And in both of those churches, I was the interim pastor. Mm-hmm. So I had other responsibilities. And sometimes churches will say, well, we want an interim preacher. Uh-huh. And that's a person who only comes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, preaches, and just kind of leaves. There's no oversight necessarily. I was the interim pastor at both of those churches. David.
Thomas.
I'd like to hear from our listeners.
Okay. What do you want to hear
I wonder
from?
Who their favorite pastor would be, who their favorite preacher would be.
Yeah.
And if they have an example of someone that might be the perfect pastor slash preacher.
Yeah.
Just let us know. Yeah. Let us know on Facebook. Reach out to us through text, of course, or however. We would just like to know what you're thinking.
That's right. That's right. That would be very good. We hope that you have enjoyed today's podcast. We hope to broaden your perspective on the differences between preaching and pastoring. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in again next time.